John's gospel account is known for those what are often called the seven I am statements of Jesus, and we hear what I like to call the eighth one tonight. It kind of usually escapes being lumped into those I am statements, but I want to review the seven and come back to what I call the eighth and kind of unpack that scripture for us tonight. You probably are very familiar with the quote-unquote I ams. The first one appears in John chapter 6, verse 35. In fact, it has a lot of influence on this particular service here. We chose the start time of 6:35 because we had decided that in honor of Thursday evening, as the Last Supper was held, we would make this a Bread of Life service and offer the sacrament of Holy Communion at it. So it's in John 6:35 that we see that first I am statement. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. We continue to move forward and we see the remaining I ams. In chapter 8, Jesus declares, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Chapter 10, we get two I am statements, one of which should be very, the folks here at this church should be very fond of. The first one is, I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. John 10:9. And in John 10:11, Jesus says this. He says, I am the good shepherd. And again, something that would be quite, I think would be quite fitting for us to be happy about, because that is the name we've chosen for this particular piece of the body of Christ on earth. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Very definitive component of who God is in Jesus Christ, as all of these I am statements are. The fifth one, John 11:25, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. John 14, Jesus declares, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And finally, in the 15th chapter of John, we have that seventh I am statement. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser or the gardener. You are the branches. So the seven, or what are called the seven, commonly called the seven I am statements of Jesus. But then there's that one that, for whatever reason, doesn't get lumped in with those seven, but we hear it in tonight's reading, and it's interesting because these I ams, if any of them, this is the one that sort of really points us back to the Old Testament. It points us back to that foreshadowing of what Jesus was to be in his coming. Jesus says, very truly, I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am. And if we think back about that, the question in the Old Testament, who are you? And God says, I am that I am. And this is an interesting sort of statement by Jesus here. Before Abraham was, I am. Or before Abraham was born, I am, depending upon which translation you're using there. It's a fascinating, I think, reference to the very covenant that Jesus was coming to offer the world. If we think about all the different covenants in the Bible, the three that are probably most prominent for us in our faith would be the Abrahamic covenant between God and Abraham, the Mosaic covenant between God and Moses, as Moses gives the law to all of the chosen people of God, and then the third covenant being the covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ, where God offers us forgiveness of our sins, which gives us an opportunity for everlasting life with God in heaven through Jesus Christ by our faith. And so what we see there is in order from Abraham to Moses to Jesus, we have a faith covenant, we have a works covenant, and we have a faith covenant. Abraham is told by God, because of his faith in God, that his righteousness is credited to him because of his faith. It's nothing that Abraham has done. It's because of what Abraham has believed. And then we see a shift take place. God gives the commandments of the law, the covenant of the law to the Jewish people. And now, in order to be in favor with God, it's not faith-based, it's works-based. You have to be able to keep the law perfectly in order to have justification before the throne of God. Now, there's a very good reason that God did this way, and we can read this in some of the epistle readings, some of the letters that Paul wrote. Paul refers to the covenant of the law as a schoolmaster. It was intended to teach us something. And the take-home lesson, really, for the covenant of the law is this. We can't keep it. And so therefore, because we can't keep it, we need another way. In fact, we need the way, the truth, and the life. We need a Savior. So the entire purpose of the Mosaic covenant of the law is to act as a mirror, showing us how sinful we are, that we're unable to keep the law, and that if we're going to have right standing with God, there needs to be another way. And that way is the covenant of grace through Jesus Christ. It is by grace that we are saved, through faith in Christ. Faith, works, faith. Those three prominent covenants. The original covenant with Abraham based on faith. God credited Abraham's faith to him as righteousness. The change in the covenant to the covenant of the law based on works, to point God's people toward the fact that what we really need is a Savior. And the coming of the Savior, who declares right here, before Abraham was born, I am. Jesus is the great I am. Jesus is divinity. Jesus is God. To quote John at the very beginning of his gospel account, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Even before Abraham, Jesus says, I am. And that's a gift to us. And that's the covenant of grace. Our salvation through faith is a gift that we simply receive. It's not based on how good we are, how good we keep any law. It's based on us receiving the good news that Jesus Christ is willing to be our Savior when we're willing to surrender our lives and place our trust in Him for our justification before the throne of God in heaven. That, my brothers and sisters, is good news, and if you receive that good news this evening, I invite you to say, Amen. Amen. Amen.